you know, we as Christians, I think, can expect persecution. There's a lot of persecution of Christians going on all around the world, and yes, even in our own country. However, Peter also warned us that we should suffer, and we should do that, and if we do suffer, it is for doing good and not making evil choices. Wow, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, you can find that. Peter warned us. So if you're a Christian and you've been insulted or even called a hypocrite for behaving badly in the workplace, that's not persecution. No, it's only when we're persecuted because of our righteousness that we are truly blessed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. So the worst suffering, I think, that Israel endured in the biblical times are arguably the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. The suffering was entirely deserved. This is the likely background for Psalm 79. Similar to Psalm 74, this psalm is a lament by the survivors of that catastrophe. The psalmist begins by reminding God that it was his inheritance, it was his temple, it was his service, and his people who were destroyed. Well, since these people and places belong to God and are precious to him, the poet cries out to God to come and to help them. Asaph doesn't deny that Israel's suffering is God's punishment for their sins. Yeah, but his question is this, will you be angry forever, verse 5? Well, the children of the generation that had turned away from God are still bearing the consequences of their parents' sins, in verse 8. So Asaph's lamenting, but the psalmist prays for two things. First, he seeks God's forgiveness, verse 9, and he wants the punishment by God to end, so that they can begin to rebuild their lives. And second, he asked God to pour out your wrath on the nations. Israel may have deserved the suffering which came upon them for persisting in disobedience towards God, but, you know, I love the buts and the ifs, but those who murdered and destroyed them brutally are also deserving of God's judgment. So why should God act for Israel now? Well, I think there are first couple reasons. First, it's for your namesake, God, these people. They need you. The poet's concern for the nations will not give God the glory he deserves. Instead, they may think that God isn't strong enough to rescue them. Second, I think God's deliverance will result in the praise of his people from generation to generation. Historically, the prayer of this psalm was answered when the nation that had brought such suffering on Israel, Babylon, was destroyed in 539 B.C. That following year, Israel was allowed to return and rebuild Jerusalem. Henry Martyr lived from 1781 to 1812, was a missionary to India. And he was deeply hurt that the nations did not worship the Savior of the world. And he wrote this. He said, I could not endure existence if Jesus was not glorified. And I think the writer of the Psalm 79 shares a similar grief. His desire for God to rescue them from their distress so that the nations will glorify God for his power and love. Well, think about this. Whether you and I are suffering or not, God's glory should be the ultimate goal for all of our prayers and the desires of our heart. Amen? And I think that's what the psalmist is praying. He's praying for deliverance and forgiveness. That's what we need to do, pray for too, is deliverance and forgiveness. And constantly we need to think of that because we think about doing all of the stuff in the name of the Lord. It is the Lord that calls us to salvation. And to glorify his name means that we thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross. Oh, I tell you what, we as New Testament believers are really blessed because we have history on our side. And the Old Testament people back in the Psalms, they knew that God existed and they knew God would save them in different things. But, you know, in a personal sense, what Jesus done for us on the cross of Calvary, individually, we have salvation and we are saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation. So I think all of the Psalms, especially this Psalm, just gives us some insight into how maybe we should pray for the persecuted church and all the people that are being persecuted around us. Yeah, we're only probably one little speck in the things that God is helping us with, but you know, prayer is an important thing, and I don't know how we'll be able to do some of the things for other countries that are being persecuted, but we can certainly pray for them. You know, the prayer of intercession is probably one of the most powerful prayers that we can offer to anybody as we pray for one another and ask God to take care of them, which we know that He will, in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Word is the Way to Life podcast. And next week, we'll be all the way up to Psalm 80. I think it's wonderful. I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope and pray that these little series that we're doing in the Psalms and some insights, both from Ralphieism and from God's Word perspective, will maybe help you with your faith and all the things that we go through in this life. Because I like the do or paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have something much better ahead. Eternal life with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God loves you, and so do I. Have a good day.